Hi there, this is Dan Delta Collins. You're listening to Wandering DMs. Wandering DMs is broadcast live every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on twitch.tv/wanderingdms and also youtube.com/wanderingdms. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hi everyone, welcome to Wandering DMs. I'm Paul.
And I'm Dan, and on this episode of Wandering DMs, we're doing another one of our special dungeon design dashes where we're going to try to fill in a whole dungeon in 1 hour. And this week, Paul, we've decided to pick a high-level dungeon that we have not done yet. So we're targeting like 8th level, so this is a dungeon that will be appropriate for superheroes and necromancers and their ilk.
Excellent. Now, Dan has foolishly perhaps trusted me to pick out and prepare the map for today. So he has not seen this yet. This is the first time he will be seeing it here as I cut to it. As in the past, we are leaning on our friend Dyson Logos to provide. He's got some nice free for commercial use maps on his website. And here we go. Here's our map, Dan.
Nice.
Nice little,
nice
caverny map.
Okay.
Interesting thing going on.
Nice.
So for the sake of our podcast viewers, we've got about 9 rooms. It's an entrance is a natural cave with some twisty, windy tunnels. There's a little section that goes down like a spiral downward. So you need like a separate little point A leads to point B kind of indicator here. Yeah, some interesting features here. So hopefully
that's great.
Big and not too small.
I appreciate
that,
you
like,
picking up.
Go on.
Go ahead, Paul. I appreciate you picking it out because one of my good friends on Facebook yesterday I saw posting, I went to Dyson Logos' site for a single map, and 2 hours later I'd realized I'd gone down a rabbit hole looking at his thousands of productions, and they're all great. So I appreciate you doing that spelunking job to pick out a good choice.
You know, it's interesting because I go in there with very specific constraints because I know for this exercise that there's a sweet spot for us that's around like 8 or 9 rooms is kind of perfect, perfect size for this kind of exercise. So, excellent. Okay, so we're going to begin, as before, with Matt Finch's Adventure Design Desk Book, which later was republished as the Adventure Tome of Adventure.
Tome of Adventure Design, I believe, right?
Thank you. Whew, I always forget the name for it. Yep. Great. And we're going to roll on what is labeled the locations chart. But I love starting this way because it gives us that sort of adjective noun of the adjective nouns format for a title for our adventure. And I think that always spawns good stuff for us. So I will it will reroll if it gives us something that we don't like. Dan, why don't you give us some percentile rolls? We'll need 4 of them in total.
Great. Here we go. Okay, so I got a rolling actual physical dice here. I got a 39.
That gives us Desolate is the beginning of our title.
Great. And 94...
Sanctum of the Desolate Sanctum of the
38.
Flying.
Oh no.
Flying seems a little wrong for caves, but okay, sure, why not?
20.
20. Changeling.
Interesting.
Desolate Sanctum of the Flying Changeling. What? Any one of those in particular you want to call out, Dan, you'd like a reroll on?
Maybe Changeling. I'm already getting some ideas here, but Changeling, I never, like, for some reason, I don't know, other people like Changelings, and I'm like, it doesn't really speak to me. 47? What would that be?
That's interesting. I'm just realizing, looking at these charts, that there's two, yeah, there's an A and a B. There's two variants, so I could be reading. I could give you the variant. Anyway, sorry, what was the number?
Yeah, I got a 47 here, I think, that's what I got.
Great. That will That would change Changeling to Father on this chart, which is
flying
weird.
Father?
Yeah. Or alternately on table B, you have Lich. Desolate Sanctum of the Flying Lich.
Let's just try one more. That might be it. Maybe. What is 65?
Flying is a weird modifier for some of these options that we're coming up with. Well, interestingly, on table A, 65 is Lich. So that's
really.
I guess it appears on both tables. That's weird. Let me just check table B. 65 would give you Princess. I feel like weird. It's trying to point us at Lich here.
It's trying to tell us Lich. Okay, great.
It's the Desolate Sanctum of the Flying Lich. Why is the Lich flying? I don't know. I'm kind of.
Okay.
It sounds super weird and campy, maybe.
Let me rip on that. So some of our viewers are making great, great observations that for higher level characters, there should be some amount of, like, you know, extra mobility, like places or paths that lower level characters simply get to. So to my mind, this is either going to be like these tunnels are going to be like way up on top of a super high cliff or the top of a spire at sea, or maybe like a floating rock or something flying through the sky. Do any of those speak to you? Like, I feel like the place itself where the Lich lives is itself flying.
Yeah. Oh, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I kind of like the, like, it's in a flying rock or something like that. You know, I almost want it to be like a chunk of rock that has like gravity reversal going on in it or something weird like that.
Now, that's great for me, Paul, but last time when I brought up gravity reversal, you crapped all over me.
You were thinking as a trap, which was super. I mean, this is a Lich's saying.
Well, of course it was going to be a trap.
Okay, I would also recommend, Dan, let's keep our eye out. I think since our main villain here is flying, I think let's have at least a couple of these rooms have obscenely tall ceilings.
Great, I like it.
Great.
Okay, so it's a floating rock, and your superhero level characters have got to fly up to it before they even get into the caverns.
Yeah,
I love it.
Cool. Okay. Another table that maybe might be fun to play with here is we have in the past done some extra work for our main villain on the second book of the Adventure Design Desk book, which gives us allows us to go into details about special monsters. Now the funny thing is we always end up not having to roll on like the first table because it's obvious, right? Like in this case, it's a Lich, so clearly it's some kind of weird undead thing. But we could, if you want, roll on here for other unusual aspects of our Lich, if I can get to the undead part, which is on page 37, it's telling me. Great. So why don't you give me, let's see.
While Paul's looking for that, I'll just say thanks to the viewers, because we always get, you know, great suggestions while we're doing this. So thank you for the flying issues. You guys,
I'm gonna walk us through really quickly the causes of intelligent undeath and preparations for intelligent undeath.
Oh,
some of the preparations might be voluntary. Actually, let's just roll on the preparations. Give me a percentile roll.
Okay, that seems appropriate. How about 13?
This tells me that the corpse or body is preserved or prepared in such a way that the soul or life force cannot depart.
Okay. That seems,
what do you think about
lich-like?
That
seems that seems pretty much what I would expect for a Lich.
Right, but cannot, right? Because a Lich is usually doing this on purpose, right? They have a phylactery that they're trying to protect because they want to stay. That table suggests to me that there's some level of him being trapped here.
Okay. All right. Yep. Okay. Great. So in order to work his devious plans, he's stuck on the rock. He's got to bring his base around to wherever he wants to go.
Sure. Yeah. Why not? Or she? Maybe it's a female Lich.
Great.
Why don't you give me another percentile roll and let me tell you what the villain's devious plan is. We'll see if that brings us anything exciting.
75. Okay. Devious plan number 75, Paul.
That says that the villain seeks to gain direct or indirect political power at some level of government.
Okay.
I want to roll, though. Okay. There's a more exciting one here because it just grabbed my eye, and I'm just going to choose it, which is concealment. The villain is trying to conceal himself or conceal his past acts, conceal his organization, conceal evidence, etc. And there's a subtable for it. Roll me another percentile. I'm going to look up what this villain is concealing because I like this
84.
Table.
84.
Secret identity. The villain is disguised within the human population and is building up a new identity for himself. He might have forged documents or an altered body form. In this case, the villain has created a new identity. I kind of feel like is the Lich maybe magic jarred somebody?
So 5 minutes ago, our viewer Ash, right, referred to the indie game that was just recently published called Lichcraft, which is a satire of UK trans policies, in which apparently the only way you could possibly make use of trans medical services is to become a lich, because it's going to take hundreds of years for that to happen. So that's at least in the ballpark of this lich changing their identity. Cool. So good guess, everybody. Apparently that's the direction I'm going in. So the lich is clearly transforming their identity.
The lich is transforming their identity. That's fascinating. That's fascinating. So maybe in life they were known as a powerful evil wizard, and they need to distance themselves from that for some reason.
Is the flying rock really doing a good job of that? Like,
well, that's why where my head originally went here with this, maybe we're going too deep, but, was the notion, my brain went immediately to like a magic jar spell. And so maybe what's actually in this rock is not the lich, but the magic jar, and that the lich is wandering around in another form, pretending to not be a lich.
Great. I love it. Brilliant. Yeah, exactly. That's it.
kind of notes of our Halloween special that we did with WebDM, where I was a plant as a character who was I was there. I was sort of the guide to bring the party into this lich's place, and it turned out that actually I was actually the lich, and I was trying to draw people in. And that was being controlled or whatever. So that might be an interesting thing to try and work into this game. Okay, great. I feel like we're as David Hearn points out, we're 20% time in and we're still working on the theme. Yeah, let's get going. Intentional placements. Is that where we are next?
So is the lich on the rock or is the lich not on the rock? Is the lich in our dungeon?
Let's start with the lich's phylactery or magic jar is definitely on the rock.
Yeah.
Let's place that thing.
Okay.
Where is that hidden? And my eye is immediately drawn to areas 5 or 9 being the furthest away from the entrance.
Yeah.
9 is exciting because you got to go down this very deep spiraling downward tunnel past some weird
9
chambers with statues.
I feel like thinking in like the high level aspect, I feel like the spiral from 6 to 7, wouldn't it be interesting if it wasn't just a normal walk down the stairs, but there was some magical trick there. Like you have to do some kind of magical performance to open up the actual stairway. Otherwise it sends you on a teleporting infinite stairway that you're stuck on. I feel like that's going to be an interesting like high level barrier. So I feel like 9 would be good for the final location.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get to.
I mean, I could almost imagine that like maybe 7 and 8, which are along that spiral staircase, are kind of checkpoints where if you don't do the right thing, you immediately get jumped back to 6.
Yeah, I like that.
Cool.
And there could
cool.
be some kind of like key puzzle over in 5 that you have to go first before you can unlock your way down.
But that's wonderful. Okay, so we're going to say 9 is where the phylactery is stored. And so 9 is at the bottom of this deep spiral staircase, which we decided has got some kind of weird infinite trap on it. It's a smallish cave, which contains on the right side a little nook with a statue in it, and on the left side a curtain. If you pull aside the curtain, there's a little sub cave that looks like it's got, to me, looks like it has a bed in it.
Right.
Is that what you're... here, I'm gonna jump. Yep. Sorry, I just described all that without having the map zoomed in. So there you go, folks. That's what I'm looking at, is number 9. Where is the phylactery, Dan?
Somewhere held on the statue? Hidden in or on the statue?
So sorry. Oh dear, dear. Keep go running with that, Dan, because I am struggling with tech really quickly here to try and get the.
So,
the
like, I'm thinking. Okay, so high level, this should not be easy. So I feel like actually hidden inside the statue. So the statue is a terracotta construct, and in order to find the phylactery, the players actually have to break it open, which is something we tend not to do a whole lot of the time.
Okay, great. Finally got this fixed. So we're going to say ceramic statue. Is that what you said? Ceramic statue.
Terracotta? Terracotta warrior? Terracotta wizard. How about that? You don't see that too often.
Wizard statue must be broken to reveal which is phylactery. Okay. Great. So what's going on with the bed and the curtain? Why is that there?
Presumably the Lich can like teleport back in, right? Can teleport or travel back in. I mean, it's the reason why it's their home base. So they stay there like 3 months out of the year. Like it's one of these skyscrapers in New York City now that's mostly empty.
It is a desolate sanctum. It is a desolate sanctum.
It is,
right? There's really very little here. Okay, so you're just saying it's an empty bed then. No, monsters, no traps.
Dusty, hasn't been used. Well, there ought to be something here. So I feel like maybe if players penetrate this location, the Lich automatically comes back.
Right? Yeah.
Lich automatically comes back and they actually have to confront it.
I like that. I kind of want, like not only does he come back, but he appears, like, reclined in bed. Like.
Great. we have a suggestion for Sleeping Beauty's off-brand cousin in the bed. I like that. I kind of like it desolate, and then all of a sudden he comes back.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is by the living. Great. Okay.
Okay. I'm stealing ideas from the viewers. Change the statue from terracotta to gold. So it's a very fine gold statue, and you got to break it and smash most of the value in order to get to the phylactery.
Great. Yep. Sounds good. That, so it looks like some big solid gold thing, but really it's actually quite fragile.
Yep. And it's nicely made, so it's very precious. You could take it away for a big value, but you can smash it up, and then the gold value is reduced. Definitely. You have to be really committed to getting the phylactery.
I like this idea too, that the bed is stained. ADB says the bed is stained with the body's outline, or as I imagine it, maybe there's an impression in the mattress of a body shape that then fills with the Lich.
Great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All Teleport will into bed if the and I've got this, that the lich will teleport into bed if the room is entered by the living. Sound good?
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
Great. Okay. Let's talk about this trap coming down the stairs. Right. So looking at, we've basically got a spiral stair leading down, begins in room two. There's an entrance into it, but it's really keyed as number six is the top, that's the highest level of the stair. And then at seven and eight, there are alcoves along this twisting stair in which there appear to be statues. Seven has one statue, and eight, interestingly, has two statues in that alcove.
Oh, interesting. Isn't that interesting? Okay.
Yeah. And I want all these statues to be of the same dude, right? I want, so maybe there's a gold, it's clearly a statue of the Lich himself, like in his younger living days. And at nine, it's got gold. So maybe at seven and eight, we have like copper and bronze and silver versions of the statue. Maybe.
Great. Yeah. That's good.
I'm going to say seven is a copper wizard statue, and eight is a electrum and silver and electrum versions of the wizard statue, because D&D coin types. Okay, now, so given those statues, what's the deal with these statues, Dan? Are they going to animate an attack? Do they trigger some horrible trap if you don't do the right ritual? I like that this could maybe key people into the fact that they're in an infinite loop when you see, like, and now there's another copper statue, and now another silver and electrum statue, and now another copper statue.
Oh, that's good. That's super good. Yeah, that's great. We could certainly make one of them like equivalent to a stone golem would be appropriate. Which we've had a lot of discussions lately about how terrible they are. They just are immune to all magic. So I think I feel like I want to do that. And then let me see here. So I'm looking at, I believe, the third volume of Tome of Adventure Design that has tricks and traps in it. And Paul, this is something that Paul doesn't have. And so I'm springing this on Paul for the first time. But they're among the dozenfold types of trick ideas that Matt Finch has there is he has hazards and he has find the path tricks. So I feel like those sound appropriate for this. So maybe I'm going to go down to the hazard table and just generate some ideas that I would not have thought of. So let me just see that. It's okay. So actually, Paul, do you have percentile dice? Do you want to roll percentile dice for me? And I'll look that up.
I got a 42.
Okay. So hazard 42 suggests a large mechanism or process. So
I'm gonna run with that. Joshua posted in the chat having to rearrange the statues in ascending order of value to end the loop.
So maybe
the statues are placed into like sockets and they actually have to be lifted and carried and moved around in some way.
Oh, that's good.
So, in
particularly
fact, now I want to reverse them.
And it's confusing to people, but right.
Great. Let's say that number seven is the electrum statue to start, because clearly it's in the wrong place. That's where the copper statue goes.
Great.
And number eight should be our silver and copper.
Great.
Statues. And Ash says make them very heavy, which was exactly what I was thinking. Of course, they're incredibly heavy and difficult to move, but they must be moved. They must be placed into the proper order, or what happens?
Well, you get trapped in the infinite loop. Is the obvious thing?
You get trapped
thing.
In the infinite loop.
Maybe we could add something else. Let me see here.
I mean, maybe if you put the wrong, if you put a statue in the wrong slot, that's when it, you know, comes to life and attacks you.
Great. Let's get some ideas from the magic things table.
Okay.
Roll percentile dice four times and see how happy we are with this random thing that's going to happen.
So did you say four times?
Yeah, four times. We're going to get a warning, right? It's going to suggest that 47. The players be warned and not 47. There is no warning. Okay, great. There's no warning.
Great. Great.
Okay. Let's see.
My next one is
let's go to the 10. Triggering. You know, I'm going to skip one of these, so there's just going to be three rolls here. 399. 10. Okay, the trick is always active. All right, so that answers that. And result of triggering action. This will be the last
59.
One.
59.
Okay, so you pass it, but emits a warning signal. And if the characters continue going by it, they get cursed.
It emits a warning signal, even though there was no warning, but okay.
So they go by it and may the statues speak a riddle to try to clue them into the infinite loop. And if they keep going by it anyway, they get increasingly cursed as they proceed.
Okay. So I'm going to start typing here because I need to start putting words on paper. So what we have here is that I'm looking at number 7, which is the first statue that they're going to encounter. I'm going to say Electrum Wizard statue speaks riddle. If passed without answering correctly, party is cursed. Anyone passing without answering correctly is cursed. I'm going to say that the copper statue actually belongs here. Any other statue placed here, or not any other, because there's really only one, right? Because currently the Electrum Wizard is here. The copper one belongs here. So if the silver statue is placed here, it will animate as Golem. Yeah.
Great.
Something?
Great. Great. Okay.
At number 8, I'm going to say Silver Wizard statue on left and Copper statue on right speak riddle in unison. Why not? Anyone passing without answering is cursed. Is that what we want? Do we want the same trap on both of them? On all of them?
I feel like I want them.
Oh, wait, it's got to be the other way around. Because it should be copper, silver, electrum. So silver belongs on the left. So it's got to be copper is on the left and silver is on the right, so that every one of them is in the wrong spot.
Great. That's good.
Silver belongs on left and electrum on right. Silver belongs on the left. The copper is currently there. If electrum is placed on left or on the right is silver and electrum or copper. Nope. I'm confusing all the variations. Silver statue is on the right, or electrum belongs there, so it's got to be copper, right? Why did I have copper on the first one? Don't know. Oh, yeah, no, I did that. Copper belongs there. Anyway, I'll get all the variations right, right? So for each slot, there's the statue that is there, the statue that belongs there, and the statue that will, and the third one will animate as cool. Okay. And then I feel like there should be some text, maybe an 8 that just says, anyone descending beyond this point without having placed all statues in the correct positions will be teleported to area 6 without noticing. Obviously, my notes for the record, notes are very rough here. We'll obviously come and massage the language for the final edit.
But
that's the general idea, right? So we have 6, 7, 8 there as this elaborate statue trap that includes some golems, includes some valuable statues. I don't know if there is a way for the party to abscond with any of these statues, but maybe. I feel like if you leave with any of these statues, they should also attack you as golems, right? Like, they probably don't want to be removed from the from the sanctum. But anyway, great. So you got one. They're going to ask you riddles, and you'll if you don't answer them, then you'll be cursed. Two, if you put the wrong statue in the wrong place, it might animate and attack you. Three, you've got to get all the statues into the right places, or you can't get all the way down to room 9.
Yeah. That's good.
Well, that's pretty great, Dan. We've just, with one elaborate trap, filled, you know, 3 locations of this map.
Correct.
You did mention earlier on that you wanted some key at number 5, and I feel like since riddles are involved, there's got to be some clues to the riddles at 5, right?
Right. That makes sense.
So I'm just going to write...
Initially, I was thinking something they carry away, but that makes sense.
But I don't know what else is going to help them with that trap. There should be clues for the riddles and maybe something that implies, you know, higher value being lower or something, like, right, like descending. Some clue that the order of the statues is in increasing value.
Yeah. I mean, it's alternatively, like, could be like a telekinesis one. Like, maybe the statues are so heavy that normal people, like 5 normal people, can't pick it up at all, but there's a telekinesis wand in there that will let you move it around.
That's great.
But he's like, yeah?
Can we have all those things? So clues for the riddles, as well as a clue about need to arrange statues in ascending value order. Telekinesis. I can't spell telekinesis, Dan. Telekinesis. Whatever.
It's K-I-N-E-S-I-S. Probably not in your dictionary, I'm guessing.
Oh, okay. Telekinesis wand. Okay, let's look at room 5. So the interesting thing about 5, it's deep-ish down, right? You had to descend for a ways to get down here. It is the least natural.
Are you sure that's not up? I thought that was up.
Let me get a closer look at that.
When I read 5, it was up because... Nope, I take it back. You're right.
Yeah, as I look at this map, it looks like the exit of 4 looks like there's a little cliffy thing. It also looks like there's a cliffy thing between 1 and 2. It looks to me like you're going down, down, down.
Yep, I agree.
Okay. So the other interesting thing about 5 is not only did you have to go deep down to get to it, but it's the least naturally shaped cavern, right? There's a kind of a squarishness to it that looks unnatural to me. So what do you think about 5? Are we intentionally placing some stuff here? It feels like we're halfway there, so we might as well finish it out. We've got clues. Right. We've got a telekinesis wand hidden somewhere. Am I seeing correctly that there are curtains or tapestries or something hung on the east and west walls of 5?
I'll take your word for it. I'm not seeing it right this second.
Okay. I don't know if this helps, but here let's bring the map back closer up. Look at the map. If that helps you. Yeah. zooming in so on William my own screen. Yeah, there's definitely a mini I'm looking really close. Sorry, let me finish describing this room for you and everyone else. So the northern half of room 5 is kind of unnaturally shaped, whereas as you travel further south, it gets more squarish. The center portion, or the northern part of the southern half of the room, there are definitely curtains on the east and west walls. And then in the final 10 feet of the southernmost part of the room, there are two little alcoves on either side with a small square drawn in each alcove, which represents some kind of furniture or something going on.
So we had a pretty, I kind of like the suggestion from William in the chat that there could be like a mini version of the same puzzle. There could be three small, like I'm thinking maybe like chess sized piece replicas of the three statues that you have to move around the same way. And then that unlocks a box that has the wand of telekinesis in it. So you wind up getting trained on the reordering puzzle in a mini way here in 5.
I want to go with that. I'm looking very closely at the map, and I just want to reveal two things. One is that indeed at room number 4 in the passageway to 5, I'm noticing now as I zoom in that Dyson has drawn a letter D and an arrow, which clearly it implies that it goes down. Weirdly, as I look at the spiral staircase going from 6, 7, 8, 9, that actually says up. That actually says that you're going up from 2,
really?
Up 6, 7, 8, 9, and 9 would be the highest point, which I'm...
Can I see that again?
By. Yeah, yeah. So if you look at right underneath the number 6 very closely... There's clearly a U with an arrow.
I don't mind that, actually. I actually don't mind him being like in the cockpit of the flying rock in 9.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of don't mind it either. So great. Yeah. So 5 is the lowest point. 9 is the highest point.
Yeah.
Great. So let's say in 5, I want to say in 5 at the southernmost end, there are little pedestals in the alcoves to the east and west, and maybe a third one that we don't see. Maybe I'll even get in there and edit the map. I've done this in the past, draw a third little box kind of in the center. And I want to say maybe left to right, they are like 3 feet tall, 4 feet tall, 5 feet tall.
Yeah, great.
Great. Okay, let me
nice
jump
idea.
Here. This is, okay, so I'm going to say pedestals at southern end of room are from east to west, 3 foot tall, 4 foot, 5 foot tall. Now, where are the mini statues?
So you pointed out two features on the southern end. So maybe the two ends plus the middle.
That's where I had the pedestals. Statues go.
Okay. I see.
Are the statues just happen to be there and in the wrong order, or are they somewhere else and they need to be placed?
What do you feel? What do you think would be better for that?
I mean, it's more on the nose to have them already placed in the wrong positions, because of course it's about reordering.
Right.
I'm just going to say they contain mini versions of the copper, silver, and electrum statues in the wrong order, rearranging the statues to the correct order will reveal the hiding place of a wand of telekinesis. What is the hiding place of the wand of telekinesis?
How about this? It's in one of the tapestries. It's like it's depicted in one of the tapestries, and when you get the statues in the right order, it falls out of the tapestry.
Great. It is wand is represented in tapestry scene and becomes real and falls to the ground when statues.
Like it's actually like the depiction, we may not have space in the text, but it actually depicts a wizard moving large objects around, such as rocks in the sky and large statues and siege engines and things like that.
Okay. They get the mini version. Tapestry. Both tapestries or one? One tapestry.
So now I want to say both, except one of them's cursed.
User using wand to move large objects around, rearranging the statue in the correct order will cause the wand to become real, fall to the ground. So I'm going to say that's the randomly picking the Western tapestry and the Eastern tapestry. Eastern tapestry depicts something similar, but is a trap?
There's a trap. Right. Right. Let's just say Eastern tapestry contains a cursed wand that falls out if statues are in the wrong order.
Great. Similar depiction and uses false wand if statues are arranged in reverse order.
So many great ideas. So many great ideas coming through the chat on what to do around there. So, Paul, we have about 18 minutes left, and yep. I feel like we should start filling in the other spaces with monsters and other treasures, I think.
Great, let's do that. We are at this point down to only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rooms that are empty. Let's rapid fire them just raw contents. You tell me what's in here, monster, great, treasure, empty, etc. So let's begin at room 1, which is the entrance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got a trap there.
Trap, any treasure?
No, good point.
No treasure. What's in room 2?
Oh, I was making the trap, actually. Great.
I was going to suggest we just rapid fire the high mm-hmm. level of what is in each room, and then we can come back and fill in mm-hmm. the detail.
Yeah. 2 is empty with no treasure. I don't mind that because that's the branching no way, yep. So maybe yep. you're deciding.
I totally agree. How about room 3, which is an odd side cave that has nothing to do with anything?
That has a monster with treasure.
Monster with treasure. I love that. Room number 4, which is a large chamber that is on the direction of the tapestry room. Seems to have a and statue in it.
Now my roll is coming up empty with no treasure, but we can move something in there.
Great. 6 I have marked as empty right now. Sorry, folks, I've got the wrong thing on screen. 6 I've marked still unfilled, but 6, of course, is the return point to the teleport trap. So I feel like maybe we just leave it at that.
That's fine.
I'm just writing in that return point of teleport trap. We'll fill that in later because I almost feel like that the only reason to number that at all is that's where they go back to. And give me what's in room 10. Where there is no room 10. It doesn't exist.
Oh,
I'm deleting it. There's no such thing as room 10. Great. So we have the high levels. I want to jump back to room 4, which is a big empty room, which you rolled an empty result for. Contains a ramp down some stairs to room number 5. And there's, interestingly, on the cliff that overlooks the ramp down is a statue. So I really want that statue to come to life and jump down that cliff at anybody going down there.
Great.
What is that statue of? Is it another wizard statue? Is it a statue of something else? Here's something. I suggest it's another statue of the wizard, and I suggest a new detail about our wizard. He's got wings.
Yeah, okay, that seems appropriate, right?
Right. Great. I'm kind of picturing, Bender from the D&D cartoon here. So our evil wizard has got wings, which is why he's flying. And there's a statue here of something not valuable, a non-valuable metal. He's iron or let's say iron. Mm-hmm. It's an iron statue of the wizard here, standing there kind of looking like he's facing the wrong way, right? He's looking over the back in the direction of the cliff rather than into the room at four. And if you dare to go down there, he will jump down and attack you.
Great. I love it.
Cool. Iron statue of... winged. just so that I remember that detail, maybe that'll enter the text somewhere else. Giant statue of winged wizard looks over ramp down to number five. Will animate and attack anyone going down there. Cool. That's at number four. That leaves us with one, two, and three. One is our entryway, which we see has a trap in it. Right. Two is empty with no treasure, and three is a monster with treasure. Let's start at room number one. What do you tell me about this trap? You were going to roll something for this trap.
Interesting. I'm getting a I'm getting a pit being suggested. I'm not sure that's appropriate for our flying rock in that location.
Although it looks like there's a pit, doesn't it? Like if you look, if I look at room number one, there's kind of an entry hallway on the right side, and then there's this big depression. Looks to me, right? Is that what I'm seeing? There's definitely some height.
I mean, to me, that looks higher up.
Yeah, I can't.
I mean, to me, on the flying rock, there's like an opening, and then there's a higher level terrace that you could like defend it or look out over. Is what I'm.
Okay. Great. Great. Great.
So, I mean, I suppose there could be a pit in the entryway that just drops you out of the rock. Like the very first thing is you land, you think you're walking in on solid territory, and then it opens up and it just drops you right out of the rock from 1,000 feet up in the air.
Great. Can I say that in the the ledge that overlooks the entryway, right? We've just decided there's kind of a ledge there. They say a small collection of gargoyles. Not the monster, the normal gargoyles that will not attack.
Great.
Just to freak them out.
I love it. I love that. Great. Now, you know, the other thing you can do in that direction is like unusually realistic statues, right? That kind of thing. You could, but I like the gargoyles a lot, actually.
Gargoyle statues, not monsters. Overlook entrance into sanctum. Hit trap at end of tunnel. So that's like 30 feet in, right? 30 feet in. Just as you're about to turn the corner and come into the proper place. Is that where the pit trap is?
Yeah, I like that. And so some of the chat Paul types that is saying, aren't they going to have a flying spell on them? But I feel like a lot of high level characters, in my experience, they're going to fly up on a magic carpet or with a Pegasus, tie up the Pegasus in area one, and then start going in. The very next thing is, bam, pit that drops you out of the bottom of the rock. So I think that's pretty clever. Jeez, there's so many good ideas.
Great.
We could spend another hour just dredging up all the ideas I didn't have a chance to use.
Awesome. I'm going to suggest, Dan, here that for number two, we just leave that as empty, no treasure, and we'll put in some flowery text about what that room looks like. Mm-hmm. It's fine. So leave that.
Clues on the three different directions, right? Like that's a great opportunity to say you see this or you hear this or you feel this. Sure. We'll fill in later on.
What's in number three, though? Because that's I want an interesting monster in number three. I really want something interesting and cool. This is like a serious guardian of this place, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, to me, you said this is a side cave that doesn't seem connected to the rest of it. So I feel like this could very well be, you know, some random thing that has flown in from outside and has, you know, made a burrow here in the one place that isn't really critical to the Lich. So I feel like this could go either way.
Okay.
Roll me a D6.
Okay.
I'm going to get some suggestions here. So this is determining like what level of monster is showing up here.
I got a two.
Okay. So that's a fourth level monster, which is less than you'd expect for this two, three, four for this territory, and roll a d20. I'm going to tell you a monster.
Okay, I got a 14 on the d20.
How about several minotaurs? How do you feel about that?
Minotaurs, can they have wings?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay. Then yes, I'm down. Winged minotaurs. And since they're too low level for our party, there's lots of them, right?
There's at least several. Yeah. Roll a d6, and that'll suggest how many should be there.
Well, I rolled a 1.
Reroll that.
Great. I've rolled a 6.
That's 8.
8.
Go for 8 minotaurs.
Winged minotaurs. Camped here. Ooh, Ash suggests they have fine insect wings. That's unusual for a minotaur, but okay, sure.
Wingotaurs. Oh yeah, and they're armored, right? Yeah, great. They're wearing plate armor.
8 winged minotaurs in plate armor. Are camped here, live here?
Okay, see, I feel that they are actual intentional guardians of the Lich. I feel that they're intelligent, and I feel like they're actually henchmen of the Lich meant to guard the place.
Plant armor reside here and will attack any one entering room 2. Right, I'm feeling like they're on the lookout for any kind of weird noises in room 2, which is our kind of central corridor. They are ready.
You don't want them to like intentionally let people get further in and then hit them from behind.
Okay, well, now here's an interesting thing. Okay, now I'm zooming in on the map just to see interesting things.
Yeah.
About halfway down the corridor to 3, where the minotaurs live, there's a box on the southern wall. I don't know what that is. As I get into room 3, the edges look like they maybe have little ledges, especially the northern section, right? It looks like there's a little upward ledge. So maybe room 3, these are winged minotaurs.
Right.
Right. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting that it's not on screen. So you can kind of see, especially in the north, but it looks like maybe in the east and south as well, maybe there are some little ledges. I want to say that, let's have super high ceilings in 3. These are winged minotaurs. Are they up on ledges?
Now they are, yeah.
Maybe they have, yeah. They probably should have ranged weapons, right? Give them some nice crossbows or some shit to armor.
Give them longbows. Longbows are better 8 inside.
Winged minotaurs in plate armor with longbows will attempt to draw intruders in to ambush. So perhaps the box in the hallway looks like treasure.
Oh, that's very good.
Nonsense. Box right. In. Gold painted empty box in hall. Attempts to lure victims into. Yeah. Great. So our winged minotaurs. In fact, looks to me, as I look at that map, that ledge on the north has a pretty great view of the box that's halfway.
Right.
And I want to say, great. I'm getting crazy with it, but I'm going to say, gold painted empty box with continual light cast on it.
Okay.
Right, so it's glowing. Or maybe it contains, maybe there's an object inside that's magically lit, so it looks like little light is filtering out of the, I want the full-on Pulp Fiction effect here of like, this box is amazing.
Yes, okay, surely, right. Okay, that I want.
This is an amazing box.
Okay, that's great, I like that.
Right, so I'm going to say gold painted empty box emitting magical light. Paul attempts to lure victims into this area. 8 winged minotaurs in plate armor, which will ambush any intruders. Perfect. Dan, we got 5 minutes left, and I'm feeling pretty good about this, right? Like, I mean, I know it's all very rough noted at this point, but I think the possibly the one thing we haven't talked about is what kind of wandering monster chart we want for this thing.
Good point.
And also, I feel like maybe we need another treasure pass because it feels like there's very little treasure in it, as we always seem to end up there, don't we?
Well, the Minotaur area is supposed to have treasure. The various statues could have a money amount attached to them. I do agree my random rolls were coming up not very much treasure other than that. So what's in our 5 minutes? Do you think it's more interesting to fill in the wandering monsters or the treasure that the Minotaurs have, et cetera?
I feel like I want to put the wandering monsters in place. That seems the most vague in my head of what kind of wandering monsters are in this thing. We can always juice up the treasure later.
Yep, agreed. So clearly the Minotaurs, right? The Wingotaurs that we now have.
Yeah. Sure. Winged Minotaurs. Great.
Yep.
What else we got in here?
I could almost just go. I mean, there's so many statues around. Maybe there's just like some statues wandering around. So I could do like an extra stone golem just wandering around.
Cool. Great, put a golem in there. Sure.
And,
sure.
And I'm gonna steal a viewer's idea. That golem is made of ebony.
Okay. Ebony golem. Just to throw a different winged minotaurs. We got an ebony golem. I want there to be. I want there to be another flying nuisance, right? Because this is inside a rock that's floating above in the sky somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe something flew in here and nested. I don't know. Trying to think of flying stuff. I mean, sturges are way too low level for our party.
Manticore, wyvern.
Wyvern. These seem like really big monsters. There's no small winged monster that would be an actual nuisance to an 8th level party, huh?
Will-o-the-wisp? A will-o-wisp that tries to drag them back over the pit in the front. Tries to lure them down the infinite tunnel.
I mean, what if we just put I'm gonna run edge on this. What if we just like now that I'm thinking about it, like maybe a bunch of wyverns just fly by and go look. Hey, there's a cave. There's a nest. Right, flock of wyverns.
Could be. We're getting suggestions for harpies. I don't know how you feel about harpies.
Harpies, that's interesting. All these things feel like things that might happen upon the place and enter themselves versus rather than something that just happens to be wandering around in here.
Agreed.
I think my favorite so far is wyvern. So what about you, Dan?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, maybe they're nesting on the outside of the rock. Right. Maybe there's some extra stuff that's nesting on the outside of the rock and occasionally they come in looking for lunch or something. That's reasonable.
There's a recommendation in the chat for a cloaker.
Don't have that original D&D, but we could bring it in. We could certainly import it. And, you know, I love Grells myself, which is in the same basket, which is why I didn't say it.
Okay.
I like wyverns. I like instead of making up a brand new monster in the last minute. I like the wyverns.
Oh, we are super out of time. We only have 3 out of 6 wandering monsters here for our chart. Anything else you like in here?
Right. What about like some kind of fly undead? Like could be a specter or a vampire. They fly, right? Specters.
Vampire feels weird to me. Specter, I'm down with though.
Yeah. Great. Specters.
Great. 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 Any other magical?
Other.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so suggesting 4th level giant boring beetles. There's giant beetles in the rock that occasionally burst through into the tunnels.
Giant boring beetles.
Drill through the rock.
Yep.
And
I mean... Now I want a Zorn, Dan. Now I want a Zorn in there.
Throw a Zorn in there if you want. Great.
Okay. Boom. It's 2 o'clock. We're done. <In advance.
laughs> Fantastic. Amazing.
There you go. That is our desolate sanctum of the Flying Lich. We never ended up statting out the Lich himself, although he does appear, right? He appears in number 9. Or
correct.
She appears in number 9.
And I'm fine with that. I feel like the adding the stats is a step that we do afterwards. The design is there. Okay. There's a Lich that's going to show up in number 9, but we always add the stat blocks after the show. So
Agreed. Did you say it's 4-6 players levels 8 to 9? Is that roughly what we're looking at?
How about 7 to 9?
7 to 9.
5 players level 7 to 9? Yep. I like that.
Perfect. Okay.
Yep.
Excellent. Great. Well, there's the bare bones of our adventure. We did it. I'm going to say we did it. Congratulations. Did it in an hour.
Good for us.
Obviously.
Good job, Paul.
I feel like we lean heavily on the we'll fix this in post kind of but we will fix it in post. In fact, viewers, what will happen here is Dan and I will tidy up the language, package this up, make a nice document out of it. We will pass that out for free to all current patrons. So if you're not a patron, now's the time. Come join quick before we finish the sucker off and give it to everyone for free. And then we'll also drop it on DriveThruRPG for $1.
Yeah.
I'll buy that for a dollar. There you go. So you could buy it straight up for $1 from DriveThru when it's there, or you could just join the patrons at the $1 level and you'll get it.
Definitely.
Awesome. Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us. If you like this dungeon, leave us some comments. Tell us what's cool about it. If you have some thoughts about what you would like to see in future dungeon design dashes, what kind of dungeon should we do? Should we do a wilderness one? Should we do more or fewer rooms? Should we do a town adventure? What do you want? Let us know. Different levels,
like high level. You like low level? You want to go like even higher than 8th level? You want something like around the 5th level thing that would be useful for you? We'd love to hear that.
Yeah. Leave us some notes in the comments here. Tell us what you'd like to see in the next one, and we'll make it happen.
Definitely. And remember that you can like, follow, and subscribe to us, the Wandering DMs. We are on YouTube and Twitch and Twitter and Facebook and GitHub and TikTok. And we do have the handle Wandering DMs on all of those sites, so look for us there for updates on upcoming shows.
If you prefer to listen to our show in audio-only podcast format, you can do so. Those podcasts are available on our website at wanderingdms.com, which is the most reliable place to get those podcasts. I have been informed recently that there's a little trouble with the podcast showing up on some of the third-party carriers. I intend to fix that ASAP. Thank you, viewers, for letting me know about that one. But possibly you can find our podcasts on third-party sites like Google Podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, Pocket Cast. If you're listening to us on one of those sites and there's a mechanism for it, please rate and review us there. That helps other users of that site find us. And we really appreciate it.
We really do. And as usual, big thanks to our patrons who support the show. If you'd like to join them, please visit patreon.com/wanderingdms. And as usual, you'll see our discounts on merch. You get access to our private Discord server, monthly behind-the-scenes stuff. You get a free copy every time we do a dungeon design dash and other features like that. After-party chat that we hold every Sunday. We'll be there in about 10 minutes or so to continue the conversation, which is among our favorite parts of the week, frankly, getting to see everybody and talk. And today, I'm sure we'll talk about more ideas that we could have for future dungeon design dashes. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our scheduling this week. We are changing our schedule a little bit, not the Sunday show, but we're changing some of our other schedule here on the Wandering DMs channel. So my Dan plays games from the Elder Times, where I do PC gaming late night. That's moving to Tuesdays at 11 p.m. Eastern time. And Paul, TDR is moving to when?
TDR is moving back to our original time slot on Thursdays from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Okay. And we're playing a little bit with the makeup of that group. In fact, you won't see my face on TDR this coming adventure. It's going to be replaced by a special guest Dan, yes. Dan, reveal for us, please. Who is the special guest of TDR this session?
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, there is a very special guest showing up on TDR. Look at my notes here. Well, it's me. So I'll be filling in for Paul for the next cycle, and we'll be playing a cyberpunk game, which is one of my favorite genres, frankly, with Christian running it. So I get to sit in and play on TDR for a couple weeks, which I'm really looking forward to. So thank you for that, Paul. And the other thing we got to say, we'll be back next Sunday with a very special guest, and I am very excited about this. I'm amazed that we are going to have an opportunity to talk to Mr. Ramsey Campbell, who is a legendary fantasy and horror writer all the way back to the beginning of Arkham House Publishing. And we're going to get to talk to Mr. Ramsey Campbell live on the air. He's got a new book coming out called Way of the Worm that's coming out starting next week, actually. So we'll get to preview that for the first time anywhere. And if you have any questions about Mr. Ramsey Campbell's illustrious decades-long career, tune in next Sunday. That's March 20th. And get involved in the chat on that. That'll be next Sunday. Can you believe that, awesome. Paul?
Yeah, really looking forward to that. So it should be an interesting conversation. A little bit of a digression from our normal, very gaming-focused content. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm a big horror fan, so exciting. Looking forward to talking to him.
There you go. Awesome. We're so excited. So that'll be live. Anything else, Paul?
I don't.
Awesome. So that'll be live next Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time, as usual. So please join us next week for another thought-provoking discussion.
We'll see you then.